my brothers in Christ, I thank y'all for coming. So I have a question for you. So how many people here believe that they are Christians? Raise your hand. Okay. Does anybody know where the word Christian come from? Raise your hand. Anyone? Anyone know where the actual word come from? Does anybody know that it's a label for people that follow something, that follows the Christ, right? So what I want to talk about tonight, I'm going to give you a little introduction of me. You know, my father's a pastor, and it took me a long time to follow Christ, right? To come to Christ, because I went away from the Lord when I was a young man, and I didn't come back until recently, about 15 years ago I came back, and ever since I've been back, I have had an awesome journey. So point out to you is that I try to do the right thing, right? I try to do the right thing, but I always seem to fall short in some areas, and my battle buddies know some of those areas. They've definitely showed as I went along. I try to love God. I try to see God in everything. I try to see God in everything, and most of the time I do. So, and I do have certain values that I do have certain values that I will not compromise, right? There are some of you know those already, but that's for another sermon. So, and I don't get asked a lot if I'm a Christian, especially at work, you know, because I'm in the military. I do military stuff, so a lot of that kind of stays hush hush. You know, when you talk about, nobody wants to talk about Christianity. Nobody wants to talk about your beliefs. Nobody wants to talk about any kind of value. So I try to keep it. I try to keep my stuff quiet. But sometimes I'm a little bold when it comes to, you know, praising the name of Jesus. So I let stuff out, as my battle buddies know at work. I let stuff out, and I do it in a nice moderate way, not a in your face kind of way. You know, anybody heard of a Bible thumper, right? I don't want to be that to the people at work. So I've had a lot of people judge me, right? I've even had people call me a bad Christian, and I'm like, okay, well, I don't really know what that means. But I didn't even consider myself like a perfect Christian, but the guys at work, they showed me, hey, not everybody's perfect. You know, they'll have a discussion with me, and I know that they see something in me, right? I know they see something in me, so I know I'm doing something. I know I'm doing something right. So, but I've always, I got from my brother in Christ, Brother Curtis, he sat me down one day and told me that I needed to do a self-examination, because I was asking questions. I was asking questions to him, and I was trying to figure stuff out. And he said, and he told me, he's like, well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever examined yourself? Have you ever asked yourself if you are a Christian or if you're saved? Right? So as we answer that question, most of us say yes, right? Most of us say yes. And just because that we label ourselves Christians, right, which is basically Christian is a label, it doesn't mean that we're actually followers of Christ, right? And just because we go to church on Sunday and Wednesdays, right, and we're involved in all of the church groups, you know, anything outside, right, that truly doesn't mean that we follow Christ. There are some things in the Word of God that show us how we need to follow Christ and what we need to do. So my objective today is going to explain a little bit of that, right, and give you some practical practical ways to self-examination of your own, and hopefully it will let you follow Christ a lot more each and every day. So the title of my message is going to be, Are You a Follower of Jesus? So what does it mean to be, and we're going to answer some questions. What does it mean to be a follower, right? Going to give a definition of a follower, and then why do we want to be followers? Why do we want to be followers of Christ? Why do we want to follow anything? We're going to give examples of that. How do you choose to be a follower? Or why do you choose to be a follower, right? Do you want to follow this group, that group, whatever group you want to follow? So, and then we're going to talk about the evidence, right? Evidence of you being a Christian. And it's all from the Word, so it's not me. I'm going to have a lot of opinions in my message this evening, but I'm going to try and draw everything from the Word at the end. Give everybody a practical a way of checking things out. So the Bible verse today is Matthew 4, 18 through 20. So if you get there, say amen. All right, so Matthew, and obviously this is one of the biggest stories in the New Testament. So it says, now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net to the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Bow your heads for me, please. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together this evening. Father God, I ask you to let the Holy Spirit speak through me, Father God, so we can together understand what it is to follow you, to drop everything that we have, Father God, and to follow you and have some practical ways to do that, Father God, in our everyday life. In my name of Jesus, I say amen. All right. So what does it mean to be a follower? Okay, so I have some definitions, and I don't know if you all will recognize some of these definitions, but the Urban Dictionary tells us that a follower is one who doesn't think for themselves. Does that sound like you? Yeah, I didn't think so. A follower instead of deciding what's right for them, right, they'll adopt the beliefs and opinions of another. Now, this is an Urban Dictionary. It's not the regular definition of the follower. So a follower, when they're in a group, they will adopt the belief system, attitude, values, and others in the group. Sound familiar? Kind of the stuff that's going on today? So they this is Urban Dictionary. So they leaf off the brain power of others who'd rather think for themselves and most likely don't use many calories as others for their brain function. Right. They contribute very little to society and are really a kind of foot soldier or something like a worker bee. All right. So that's just a few from there. The dictionary labels it like this. Let me bring up my bookmark. It labels it like this. I did the Google search, right? Like everybody does nowadays to find all their information. So a follower is an adherent or devotee of a particular person, cause, or activity. The second definition, a person who moves or travels behind someone or something. Okay, it has a reference to the similar words are, I can't even pronounce some of these, assistant, attendant, satellite, companion, retainer, henchman. That goes along with what's going on around here. So what is a word for the rule of a follower? The rule of a follower. So what we're gonna talk about is some Bible examples of a follower, right? In 1 Kings 8:3, Obadiah, everybody remember Obadiah? He was a loyal follower of the Lord. Isaiah 56:3 says, and this sounds just like us, no foreigner who becomes a follower of the Lord should say, the Lord will certainly exclude me from his people. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to become a follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's a pretty stout statement. A follower follows the leader, right? The follower follows the leader. So whatever the leader's doing, they usually try to emulate that person. So if the pastor is doing what the pastor's doing, any man or woman in the church is going to follow his stuff or follow the way he does things if that's what their mission is. So a couple reasons why people want to be followers. And if everybody knows that Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff that's on the internet right now, people are actually getting paid for followers. Everybody knows that you can actually get paid to have a whole bunch of followers. Like you got a million followers, you know, you get so much money. I didn't do all the research, but I know that there are people that's all they do in their life is they make videos and they try to collect as many followers as possible. Right? Most of their messages aren't what most people, but they're very handy because I do look at some YouTube and I do follow some people on YouTube, but it's very informative. So why do you want to be a follower? So stuff that's going on now, because we have rights, right? We have rights to protest, right? And do peaceful protests, right? That's not what we see, right? But somewhere down the line, the leaders of those groups found some way to get followers to follow them, right? So we also think about good. Do you want to be a good follower or you want to be a bad follower? So most good followers that follow any kind of organization are usually peaceful, and then we all know that bad followers are not very peaceful. Why else would we want to follow somebody? Social justice, right? We're living in social justice, equal rights, discrimination, police brutality. So everybody wants to comment on their stuff, and they want to follow whoever they feel is right. And then one of the biggest is the religious beliefs. So everybody has their own thought process of what they want to believe, who they want to believe, and how they want to believe. So how do we choose? And a lot of this stuff may not come directly out of the Bible. It's the beliefs that I have. So this is how I would choose to follow. I wanted to believe in something, right? I want to believe in something. So when you believe in something, right, you tend to be passionate about it, right? If you believe that the Chevy Camaro is the best car out there to drive, you're probably going to want to buy that car, right? You're going to buy that car. You want to drive that car. Now, if you go too far, it's probably a little strenuous on the worship thing, you know, because you know you got to worship God first. But that's part of our life, and two, having good values, right? Having good values, and we have to determine where we're going to get those values from. Me personally, I get most of my values from the Word of God, and most the associates, all my brothers in Christ, also, and then. How do you choose who to follow? Well, there's two things in the world, and they fight each other all the time, good and evil, right? So most people who want to be good, they want to follow good stuff, right? Not evil stuff, right? And now in our society, we have a certain gray area that nobody really knows what is the difference between the good and evil. It's something that we as Christians, we need to pray about. So let's talk about uh, the evidence, right? Let's talk about the evidence. This is where if you want to write these down, I'm going to give you there's about nine of them, and I'm going to give each one with the scripture so you can reference it and do it on your own. And this is what I came, thanks to Dr. Charles Stanley. He's my daily devotional. I do a daily devotional with him, and this was one of the things that he came up with about 4 or 5 years ago. And I read it, and I was like, man, I got to talk about this. So I was reading an article, and this author, A.W. Tozer, the famous pastor and author from Chicago, he stated that if Jesus is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. That's a pretty profound statement. And I was like, man, I went to a men's conference with Brother Mike before I showed up to this church, and that was an awesome experience. And I went and went to Iron Sharpens Iron. I don't know if anybody knows what that is. It's just a big men's conference that we get together. And one of the messages there was being all in with Jesus, and not just being sitting on the sidelines with him. So if you're ready, I'm gonna give you about nine things. We'll talk about them real quick, and then I'll close them, and then we'll pray. So the first thing, right, that lets you know if you're a follower of Jesus is being born again, right? Being born again. It says it directly in the Bible. It says Jesus encountered Nicodemus. Everybody knows Nicodemus? John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you could think about his reaction. He said, wait a minute. How am I supposed to get back in the womb, right? So his mindset, and this was one of the most educated men back in the day. He's one of the most educated men. So why is he asking Jesus, do I have to get back in the womb to be born again? He did not understand. He could not comprehend what Jesus was teaching him. So being born again is the very first step. You have to die to yourself. You have to die to yourself, your flesh. You have to die, and you have to be born again in the Spirit. So, number two, then, this is huge. Pray. Pray, right? So, everybody knows the word Gethsemane? Gethsemane? I think I said that right. Did I say that right? Gethsemane? Right? That's where Jesus went to pray, right? He took his best people with him, you know, all his battle buddies, and he took them up there and said, hey, you guys sit here. I'm gonna go pray, do my stuff. So in Luke 6:12, it says, it was at this time that he went off to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. The whole night. I barely give God an hour. I barely give God an hour in the morning. sometimes less than that. But, you know, I think about the prayer. My dad's always preach that to me, and you know, you hear it all over. But prayer works, and if you're a Christian, you should know that. If you're not a Christian, you might want to try it. So number three, listen to him. That sounds reasonable, right? You want to listen to him. You always, if you have a leader like Pastor Bill, I listen to Pastor Bill, because every time he talks, I hear God. I hear God speaking to me. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but and let's think about the transfiguration, right? In Matthew 17:5, it says, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. That is literally a directive. It's a directive to us. Hey, listen to my son. Listen to my son. So you can see how all of this stuff, if we follow, right, the way God wants us to follow, then your life changes drastically. So number four, believe in him. Everybody knows this one. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whatever that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then some versions say everlasting life. And that is, I mean, everybody sees that all over the place. You see it on football players, you know, they put on a little stuff. You know, and back in, I think it was the 90s, they had a big John 3:16 movement, you know, and there's been tons of movement here and there. But that scripture, anyone, no matter who you are, they can relate to that one. They can relate to, oh, yeah, I know Jesus, John 3:16. I'm like, okay, what else do you know about it? Right, so you can literally ask people questions and get their take on whether they're a follower of Christ. So number five, obey him. This is really hard. This is really hard. So Jesus testified to the Pharisees, and of course they didn't believe him. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Now remember, he told the Pharisees, you know, hey, you guys are doing it wrong. He was always telling the Pharisees that they were doing different things wrong. And then he told even the lowest person, widows and orphans, to say, hey, look, if you don't have the knowledge and faith of the Pharisees and scribes, you ain't even close to what you're supposed to be. At least they're there. So obeying is one of the hardest things we do. One of the hardest things we have to do. You know, that's in the marriage vows. I don't know about nowadays, but I know back in the day that used to be part of the marriage vows. You know, obey and love. And that takes me into the next one, number six. Love him, right? Love him, and we all know. Well, most of us know the story about the pastor when he was overseas, and he had the guy come up and with the gun in his face, and he told him, you know, love over hate. That story resonates, you know, because I don't know if I would have done that. I don't know if anybody's heard the song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." You heard that song? The story behind that one is just awesome. You all need to read, find out what went on, because I don't know if I have that kind of faith and following with Jesus, but I definitely want to. To get there, and that's why I'm just a work in progress. So Jesus is speaking to the scribes here, and they ask, what commandment is the foremost of all? And in Mark 12:30, it says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and with all your strength." Right? That's four things. That's four things that we can just take. Okay, I'm going to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, mind, and strength. You could put those in different categories and use those to help get you through each and every day. Number seven is share him. Yeah. Share him. How many of us do that? I know I try. I really do. But there's so many people out there that just, they don't want to hear anything about it. They don't want to hear all the good things that come from Jesus or God. They don't want to hear it. They just want to live their lives because they don't want to be condemned. They don't want to, and if we do something like that, they always think that we're the ones judging them. We're judging them. It's like, no, I'm just giving you the gospel. I'm just telling you what the gospel says, right? So sharing him. So the Great Commission, right, talking to the disciples, Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." That is our task. We need to share him. Do we do that all the time? I know I don't. I know I don't. I don't know about. I'm not judging anybody, but I know I don't. I don't do that. I don't think I've ever baptized anybody. Right? I don't think I've ever baptized anybody. But but he tells us that the commission is to share him by going out and making disciples. It doesn't mean you have to pack your bags and go overseas, right? And do a mission trip. You could just walk out your front door, walk down the sidewalk to your next door neighbor, right? And say, hey, how you doing? And just have a conversation with them. You could end up sharing him with just a simple conversation. So it's something that that we as Christians may not even realize. And number eight, serve him. So some Greeks wanted to serve Jesus. Some of the Greeks wanted to serve Jesus. And so in John 12, 26, it says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. That right there should give everybody a reason to want to follow Christ. Because if you serve him, then the Father will honor you. The Father's going to honor you. And what better than the creator of the world to honor you in what you do? And all he asks is for you to follow him. Right? And then the last one, number nine, is to suffer for him. This is really hard. This is really hard because nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to go beyond their comfort zone. Nobody wants to go beyond the comfort zone. But everybody remembers Apostle Paul, right? So he's explaining what it is to live for Christ. Philippians 1, 29, for you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. So we know that Paul was sent out to get everybody who was not a Jew to come into the fold. And that's what he commissioned him to do. So he spent all the rest of his life to go out and honor and follow Jesus. He was the epitome of a bad Christian. He would literally crucify Christians because they weren't doing it the way he thought it was supposed to be done, right? He was using what he thought was right, and he would go out and crucify. And then the Lord said, struck him down in Damascus, changed his whole life, right? That's where he died. He didn't physically die, but he was born again. He was born again. That's how you get born again. You have to receive Christ in whatever way it is. You know, I've been on my Damascus road. So in closing, so being a follower, right? What does it mean to be a follower? That's a question that you probably want to ask yourself and maybe figure it out on your own. You could use these or don't use these, but I would suggest to read the Bible to help you out. And God sent his son to establish a relationship with us, right? And through his son, Jesus Christ, we can be saved. Right, that is the most awesome thing that can be done for us is God sent his only son, right, to save all our lives. So we have to remember that Jesus is not a religion, right, and it's not some kind of institution, right? It's basically a relationship with God. God, the creator of the universe, gives us this opening to have a relationship with him. A lot of people may not understand that, but I'm getting to understand that, you know, hey, I can speak with God, and things happen in my life when I stay the course. things definitely happen in my life when I stay the course. I was eating lunch with some friends the other day, and I was mentioning about tithing, right? I was mentioning about tithing, and they told me that. I was like, man, I'm glad you mentioned that. I mentioned that because these kids don't know about it. They don't know what it is to tithe and how important it is, how important it is in your life to give those first fruits. So I ask you not to sit on the sidelines, right? Don't sit on the sidelines and just let Jesus be Jesus and you don't do anything about it, right? And then obviously read your word. Read your word every day and do what it says. Do what it says. So with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving me the opportunity, Father God, to come in front of these people and discuss your word with them, Father God. I ask that we all search our hearts this evening, and from this day forward, Father God, are we a follower of your Son? Are we a follower of your Son, Father God? I ask that we use these techniques, your word that you've given us, to be able to press forward, fight the good fight of faith, Father God, and have a relationship with you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Thank you very much. Thank you.